We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh my God! You know, by the way, Lionel Rich is
yours. We do not need a camera in this studio.
There are times when I think, you know, if we had a camera in this studio and people heard the things that we said off the air to each other, we'd probably be fired. And then there's moments like just now when Madam Wright just went on a tirade, Will Starrett, about Vanna White hosting Wheel of Fortune for like the last couple of days.
Right before we came back, I go, I would punch you in your face if you did that.
That was literally the last thing she said before. I was like, oh my God.
Then the music comes up. Here's why we're talking about this. During the break, I see this on my timeline. It was Channel 9 that posted it. You know, Pat Sajak had to have emergency surgery.
Right.
But the show must go on. And so they asked Vanna, who's been with the show for like 100 years, to be the host and the letter turner. And I don't know if she's standing over there hosting or if she comes over here and hosts and then runs over there and turns. I don't know how they've worked this out.
Okay.
But the headline reads, Vanna White's hosting of Wheel of Fortune brings, quote, mixed reactions.
Okay.
So apparently, and the first episodes didn't start airing until this Monday. So it'll be on tonight again where she's hosting, which means I'm going to have to tune in and watch this. Some viewers said White didn't look comfortable filling in for Sajak.
How could she? She's never done it before.
Listen to this from Twitter. I'm awkward, but not Vanna White hosting Wheel of Fortune awkward.
What did you expect?
Here's
She's never
what,
done it. She's a letter turner.
Here's what I hate about the way that show has unfolded over the years. Because she's been there forever.
Over 30 years.
And so is he. Have you ever noticed that at the end of the show, he gets to stand there and yuck it up and make stupid jokes, and all she does is stand there and look at him with a stupid smile on her face and grin at him, and then she always turns at the end and goes, bye. Like,
and
that's
waves.
All she's allowed to say. And I'm sure she's a very intelligent woman with depth and opinions, but when he's talking, she has to stand there, nod and giggle at whatever stupid, and he's terrible with whatever his crosstalk is at the end. She has to laugh at it, pretend it's funny, and then look at the camera and go, bye. Watch it. You'll never be able to watch it again the same way.
I've seen it 1,000 times.
It's all she does.
Okay, can I ask you a couple of really quick questions?
But don't you dare say a word, Vanna. You are to turn letters and make it look like he's funny.
Okay.
And we're going to allow you to say bye, but not bye-bye. It's just bye.
Is that the only line that she has standard episode?
Bye. And so right before we come back here, I looked at Scott and I go, I would punch you in the face if they told me to do that.
Well, the people who are upset with this are entitled to a full refund of what they paid for watching Wheel of Fortune.
Can I say something?
Yes.
All right. Pat Sajak is on the Wheel of Fortune. Why?
He has been hosting as a game show host for 30 years.
It's not what I asked. Why is Pat Sajak on that show?
Because he is a host of that show.
Is it because he's really, really Brad Pitt good looking?
No.
Okay. He is a broadcaster and an entertainer.
Okay.
And
okay.
Owns radio stations, too.
Good. Does it? Okay. I didn't know that. He is an entertainer. He's a broadcaster. He's comfortable in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
He's really good with the small talk. Okay?
Wouldn't say really good, but okay.
Well, I think he's pretty good. He is not on there for his looks. He is on there because he makes it just flow.
Yeah, he keeps things moving.
Let's keep moving.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and then pick a letter. We're moving on.
Come on, yeah. Let's go. What do you got up there? You want to buy a vowel? Great. Why is Vanna White on that show?
Well, she was originally hired to turn letters.
No, why was she originally hired to turn letters?
She looked very good in a dress.
Still does.
Yes, absolutely still does.
She was hired for her looks. He was hired for his broadcasting ability. And that's a fact. You're really good looking. You're really good at interviewing people and moving the game along.
We don't want you to say anything.
Do your job.
But bye. And as Scott pointed out during the break, he looked at me and he goes, she gets paid a ton of money to not say anything.
That's right.
We can't throw her a line here and there, something.
Throwing her a check.
Can I get a gig where I get paid to not really talk?
Yeah, and all I do is push a button that lit up.
Oh, wait, I've got Sam Stevie's job now.
Oh, snap. Oh,
good thing my backpack is already half packed.
Wow!
Ouch.
That escalated quickly.
How we turn on our own. How we turn on our own.
I just, without realizing it, describe Sam Stevie's job.
Maybe
okay,
it's time you stop
presenter.
Talking.
Okay.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
What did he say? I miss it.
He said, okay, afternoon presenter.
Do we need to have a little cleansing session here between the four of us?
No.
Not between me and you.
I think I'm fine.
I'm good.
I got
just
no
gonna
beef.
Grab some popcorn.
I got no beef with Sam. I was just saying that in the process of describing a job that didn't really involve talking very much, I realized that I was describing the very thing he does.
Am I supposed to have a retort to this?
You're welcome to.
No, if you were Vanna, you would just go, bye.
Bye.
That's all you're allowed to say. We might have to do that at the end of every show now.
Okay, bye.
Tune in at 5:59.
Do you have a retort for him saying that all you do is push buttons?
Well, I mean, from 2 to 6, all I do is push buttons, but I'm here before that, and I write news, and I anchor on the weekends. So there we go.
Thank you, Sam.
Come on, get a little dirtier than that.
I think you do far more than that, and I appreciate everything you do for this show.
I'm not insulted. I only push buttons.
The dinner presenter did not insult you?
No, he did not.
I'm a dinner presenter
now? Dinner presenting.
What is a dinner presenter?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, that's what Pat Sajak is.
Ooh, that escalated.
I think at the end of the show,
I think you're the only ones making a deal out of this.
Sam's going to have to say bye.
Bye.
After you say.
Yeah, but he's already said too much for that to be effective.
God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
Be safe and be good. Bye.
Yeah, I'll fade the music out and then just give a little
bye. It's on. It's on.
Wow.
If Vanna gets to say it, Sam gets to say it.
Need a little more. Ooh.
Is that Vanessa Williams?
Shh. No, it's not. Not even a woman.
Yeah.
Didn't even get the gender right.
Gonna need a little more. Oh, Kenny Loggins, Meet Me Halfway, Jam.
When we are given love.
Bye.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
The year, my friends, was 1986 on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Bon Jovi. Story here from, let's see here, Associated Press. It's about a judge in Kansas.
Oh, yeah. This has been picked up, by the way, at least nationwide, if not worldwide. The New York Post wrote about it a couple days ago.
It involves a judge in Montgomery County, which is in Independence, Kansas. Apparently, he cussed so much that the trial clerk kept a swear journal documenting the judge's obscene outbursts.
It's a Kansas commission, which I didn't know this existed, but there is a state commission on judicial conduct. Mm. They are looking at whether this judge should be barred from the bench. And it's not just profanity. He's accused of sexism and racial bias. And
It's Judge William Cullens.
Mm-hmm.
According to a filing, Cullens is accused of mistreating employees, fostering a hostile relationship with the county attorney's office, lacking patience and decorum, exhibiting disdain toward attorneys, and treating some bondsmen with hostility. Other allegations purport that he showed bias or prejudice in the courtroom based on race, sex, socioeconomic status, political affiliation. I don't know how you would know that. Denied some defendants or their lawyers the right to be heard. Judge Cullens has acknowledged that he needs, quote, a more effective management style. Cullens declined to comment on this story, referring the call to his attorney, who also declined comment. Several attorneys and others who practiced before the judge did not return calls or refused to talk.
No, because what if you still have to try a case in front of it?
Court documents detail instances in which Cullens directed foul, derogatory language at women, as well as specific allegations of racism. In one instance, Judge Cullens, was recorded referring to an out-of-state black athlete as not even a Kansas boy. And telling a black male resident, you're a Kansas boy. Language that could be considered demeaning to an African-American man. Cullens argued in a filing that this was not a manifestation of racial bias and said the attorney who raised the objections has since testified that it appeared there was no racial connotation intended. Mm-hmm. The judge has acknowledged that he does curse frequently and, quote, bitches at people to try to get them to correct their ways. Pointed to the bench, elected to the bench in 2006. Mostly rural area, small towns.
Which means if you do something wrong in that town, your odds are pretty good you're going to be in front of this judge, right?
It's certainly possible, yes. So what's your question?
Judges are people, okay?
Yes.
At what point...
In the state of Kansas, they are elected.
They are elected. At what point does your behavior and your personal bias cross into an area where you can no longer be fair and impartial? Or let me say it another way. If he is, in fact, biased, sexist, a bigot, can he be an effective judge? And I think most people would say no.
But do you know how many times you and I, Dana, over the last 8 years that we've been together, have talked about a judge in whatever court, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, well, we need to remove that judge. And nobody remembers that judge's name when it comes time for the election. Oh, that judge is awful.
Well, the big bad cases they do, but you're right.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
I can still tell you the name of the judge in the Stanford rape case, and that's not even in the state of Kansas.
You can, but most people can't. I can't.
He was recalled.
Okay. I don't think judges should be elected. I think they should be appointed.
Oh, good Lord. Then you're only going to have Republican judges appointed by Republican governors and Democrat judges appointed by Democrat governors.
Okay. Is it any different when you're dealing with an electorate?
Probably not.
At least in Kansas, for people like you, with all due respect, you now have a Democratic governor leading the state of Kansas for the second time in the last three election cycles. Well, check that. Two of the last three governors of Kansas have been Democrats, if you don't count Jeff Collier.
This is a 5-day public hearing. So it could go all week, could feature as many as 37 witnesses and 58 exhibits. How bad does your behavior have to be that it comes with 58 exhibits.
That's pretty bad.
In your hearing.
It's bad.
It's quite a track record there.
You probably are a bad human being.
They can recommend they discipline him or require him to retire.
Judges should not be elected. They should be appointed. Mm. Period.
Collins argues that his speech, Scott, is protected by the First Amendment.
He's probably right.
And that his cursing does not diminish his integrity or keep him from performing his judicial duties with impartiality. Now listen, three former court employees said that his demeanor contributed to their decisions to quit their jobs.
576-7798. 576-7798.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you. Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that.
Somebody in this room doesn't know the lyrics of this song. And then she goes, what do they know? And I'm like, that's not even the lyric.
Show of hands, who does know the lyrics?
Hot too hot!
God, this is the dumbest show on radio. I
love
swear
that song.
To God.
I don't know how they get ratings.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I've heard someone say that, actually, Sam.
Someone very close to this program has actually said
somebody
that.
Somebody who oversees it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who didn't know I was standing behind him.
Awkward.
Yeah, but then he doubled down on it. That's
yeah,
the best part, you know? He didn't say, oh, sorry.
So, I can't say I'm late, something like that.
For those of you who haven't heard the story, it was like, what was it, a month ago?
Something like that.
And we were, I can't remember what we were doing.
You were just running out to go to the bathroom. We were in a break.
Well, I know, but I can't remember what we did right before it.
Oh, I remember. We talked about Rubber Ducky from Sesame Street.
Oh, that's right.
We
played it. We played Rubber Ducky.
And Casey Kasem introducing it.
Right, because we couldn't believe that it was a top 40 hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you found the clip of Casey Kasem.
Now, on with our survey.
Rubber Ducky.
Number
from Sesame
18.
Street. Yeah. And so we went to break, and I had to go to the bathroom, the restroom. And I walk out the door, and Boss has his back turned to me as I walk out the door, and he's talking to Rebecca Crockett. And all I hear is, I don't know how this show gets any ratings.
She was nodding in agreement, too.
I know. And I stood there, and then he said it again, and I go, I'm right behind you. And he turns around and goes,
yeah.
I don't know how you get ratings. I'm like,
yeah, that's the best part of it. Isn't the fact that he, you know, it's not the fact that he said it.
I don't know how you get ratings.
Right, it's that he turned around and repeated it to your face.
And Scott goes, I don't know either.
What do you got?
So, no matter where you work, he just walked by smiling. Smile right at us.
Jerk.
I was surprised to see this number, and I want to know, for all of you listening, do you fall into this category? This is from CBS News. It says, in America today, getting a job today increasingly means signing away your job choices later.
Hmm.
Half of U.S. businesses in 2019 asked at least some of their workers to sign non-compete agreements, which, of course, limits where you can work, when you can work,
sure,
for whom you can work.
Sure.
Nearly a third of businesses, 31.8%, asked all of their workers to sign non-competes, regardless of job duties or pay. Regardless of job duties or pay. There is a growing trend of employers demanding that workers sign away their rights if they want to work for their company. The restrictive agreements hold down workers' wages and discourage people from starting businesses, according to researchers and worker advocates.
That's right.
One of the key ways workers get raises in our economy is they change jobs. If you take away that avenue, it hurts wage growth.
Amen.
While non-competes are more common for certain jobs, like top executives, CEOs, that kind of thing, they do exist in every single industry. Nearly a third of construction companies ask workers to sign non-competes. Mm-hmm. As do a quarter of retail companies. Amazon requires its temporary warehouse workers to promise not to, quote, support any product or service that competes or is intended to compete with any product or service sold, offered, or otherwise provided by Amazon. Read that again, because that effectively means you cannot work anywhere else ever again. Amazon requires its temporary warehouse workers to promise not to support any product or service that competes or is intended to compete with any product or service sold, offered, or otherwise provided by Amazon. And it's an 18-month non-compete.
Which is, an 18-month non-compete is ridiculous.
And should not be legal.
No, it should not. The libertarian in me says it should.
Scott, you're a part-time worker at a warehouse at Amazon. According to that sentence for 18 months, you basically cannot work anywhere else. Name a product or service that competes or is intended to compete against Amazon. Well, you make a list of anything that would be excluded from that, and you can't. Amazon sells everything.
Well, I mean, you could work at McDonald's. You could work
I suppose the food industry would be one option.
But here's
maybe healthcare.
Here's the tricky wording that they're using there. God, I should have been a lawyer.
No, because they sell medical devices on Amazon.
Right?
But they say, or read the clip it's, again.
You cannot support any product or service that competes or is intended to compete
right with. There. They just got rid of any future company that is going to challenge Amazon for their dominance.
Because you could say, well, I didn't know they intended to compete, but Amazon would say, make no mistake, they are intending to compete.
First of all, if I may say so regarding Amazon, an 18-month non-compete for people that you're paying $10 an hour is immoral.
I agree.
It's immoral. And an 18-month non-compete clause is outrageous.
Any product or service sold, offered, or otherwise provided. That means you could not go work at a place that sells the sweater that you can also get on Amazon. Think about it, Scott.
Well, is it specifically referring to like warehouse work, or is it all products? That's my question.
Any product or service that competes or is intended to compete with any product or service sold, offered, or otherwise provided by Amazon.
That's borderline slavery with a paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, that covers too many bases.
It covers everything but restaurant food.
But here's the problem.
And I'm trying to think of what else.
Well, I mean, there would be a handful of things. I mean, you can work at Lowe's, maybe.
They don't sell hammers on Amazon?
No, they do. Here's what I've always argued, and I know this to be the truth because I've experienced it myself. And I've said this to other people before. You have to move out to move up. If you think that you could just stay in a company and they're going to pay you your market value, you're crazy. You have to move out to move up. And that's a fact.
A company called Cushman & Wakefield last year sued a former janitor for going to work cleaning another company's offices. So you might be thinking, well, Amazon's really not going to go after a warehouse worker.
Right.
Cushman & Wakefield went after a janitor. Now, I understand if you're the CEO of a corporation, Scott, you do not want that CEO going to work for a rival corporation and spilling your corporate secrets.
Right.
I understand that. But when you start telling a janitor that they can't go clean another company's office, give me a break. Is that legal? Or is it that no one has challenged it?
Depends on the state.
Why would you go after a janitor? Why? Why? They're cleaning a toilet. And I'm not taking any, before anybody gets all lippy on me, I'm not taking anything away from janitorial work. I was once a janitor.
But they likely are not going to be stealing company secrets from your server.
I mean, the way that I cleaned a toilet at the Alumni Center at KU would be the same way I would clean a toilet down the street somewhere else.
But it has nothing to do with the
company
job functions.
Secret. No,
well,
of course
it has
not.
Nothing to do with company secrets or the job function.
Right.
It has everything in this particular case to do with keeping this individual from leaving.
Right, just being a jerk.
That's what that's all about.
So you might think this is CEOs and high hoity-toity paid people. while non-competes are more common for higher-paying jobs that demand higher education, the majority of workers subjected to these agreements are hourly workers. Can you say to someone who works at McDonald's, you cannot go work at Wendy's?
You could, theoretically, yes. You would be a jerk. God forbid they take their hamburger-making skills across the street and make an extra $2 an hour. God forbid they try to better their life. God forbid they try to make a little bit of extra money so that they can provide for their family just a little bit more.
One researcher says the thing that blows your mind is how common these are in low-wage workplaces. That underscores that it is not really about protecting trade secrets, but about employers wanting to exert their power to the workers' detriment.
To make sure that they don't leave and that they can keep you locked in to a job flipping burgers for $7.85 an hour.
The state of Oregon has banned the use of non-compete agreements. And the FTC is currently reviewing a petition to ban them. Do you think they should be banned?
No, I do see a point, especially in like
trade secrets.
Right. In upper echelon sort of jobs where you don't just leave and take everything you've got from that company as the CEO or the CFO or whatever. But when you're talking about lower tier jobs, guys flipping burgers, putting the fries in the fry pan, there is absolutely no reason for a non-compete other than to hold them back, to hold the guy down. And I hate that. I hate it. I mean, if you work for a moving company, okay? Yeah. Let's say I work for Mayflower, okay? And I want to go work for Century Van Lines in Leavenworth. And I'm making $12 an hour at Mayflower, but Century's going to pay me $14. Why can't I go work for Century? I'm just trying to pay the bills, man.
You're not going to harm Company A if you go to work as a mover at Company B.
I mean, using that example, here, Mayflower, you want to keep me? Pay me $15.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid you actually have to pay me more money to keep me so I can feed my family, jerks. 576-7798. Got his start in a little band named Thin Lizzy. He is Huey Lewis. Who, by the way, did I hear right? That was horrible.
Phrasing.
What?
Did I understand correctly that he cannot hear anymore?
He cannot regularly hear anymore.
I said, did I hear right?
Yes. Wow. He has a rare condition where he has essentially lost his hearing. There are some times where it will come back for like a day or so. But it's completely unpredictable, and so as a result, he can't tour because he'd have to cancel more shows than he could do.
Well, is it from all of the loud noises that he's been around? No?
No, my understanding is it's a degenerative thing that is genetic. Oh. Just happened to pop up.
Okay, can I ask the dumbest question?
Yeah, go for it.
If you've been singing your whole life...
If you lose your hearing, you will still sound terrible if you sing.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Like when Limbaugh lost his hearing in the early 2000s, you could tell. It when you lose your hearing, it changes your voice.
Huh.
It changes your speech.
I just wondered, is that true even with someone who's been singing the same songs for years?
Yes. Yeah, because you're thinking with him, it's like it's muscle memory that he sings this stuff, you know, almost effortlessly. But no, regardless of how long you've been doing it or how many reps you have, if you lose your hearing, game over.
I mean, Limbaugh now has that cochlear implant.
Yeah.
And he still sounds different than he did when he had full hearing.
Well, and for singers, you still have to be able to hit the note. And if you can't hear yourself, you don't know whether or not you're hitting the note.
Right. Until you see this look from the audience.
Yeah, if they're cringing.
What's that look?
Like that time Mariah Carey tried to do All I Want for Christmas Live.
You're so funny.
But yeah. The look of you smell something really bad.
Yeah, if they're cringing, that's an awfully good sign that you're doing it wrong.
Why do they all look so horrified?
Well, you remember when you were at the Lionel Richie concert, weren't you?
Yeah.
When Mariah Carey opened up?
Yes.
There's a reason they didn't do the Endless Love duet.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was a glaring omission, but I think there's a reason they didn't do it.
And I will go ahead and say this. That is not, this is in no way, shape, or form an endorsement of Mariah Carey's performance that night. That was the best performance I'd seen out of her in a long time.
In a while.
Yeah. And I still thought it was bad.
Oh, it was bad. But remember on New Year's Eve a couple of years ago, she just totally forgot the words in the middle of her thing in Times Square. So she's like yelling for everybody, you sing it!
But her, but her fans love Mimi.
I hear those sleigh bells ringing. Won't you please bring my baby to me? So make my wish come true. You.
That's good.
No, it's not.
That sounds like a parody is what it sounds like.
And you know what?
She hasn't hit one note yet.
She's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, because...
I'm getting a new coat. Yeah,
and you just bought it. Thank you.
Because collectively, as a society, our taste is awful. We as a society have no taste whatsoever.
Really quick, I'm going to post the story about the non-compete on our KMBZ Facebook page.
Okay.
Go there to look at the stats and the percentages and weigh in there.
David in Oak Grove. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to point out, I understand it looks like, and in a lot of cases maybe they are trying to hold people back, but there is a ton of money that goes into training. There's a ton of money in turnover when you train someone and they leave you immediately to go make $2 more an hour after training on you. There's also the aspect of stealing accounts. If you're in a place that has accounts and a person leaves and is familiar with your people, the people in those accounts, and goes somewhere else and tries to steal the accounts. That happens all the time. I'm in the tow industry, and there's a lot of non-compete that goes into that after training someone for so long, and them being having first-person ability to talk to your accounts, your people. They leave, and they try to go undercut you and take your business to somewhere else. So, okay. I mean, there are legitimate reasons for non-competes.
Okay.
All right, buddy. But, glad we got you in.
But would not a non-solicitation clause take care of that?
Absolutely. Yes. All you have to do is say, if you leave here and go try to pilfer our client list, you sign here. If you do that, we will sue you for every dime that you don't have.
It seems like in lieu of a true non-compete, you could pretty much accomplish protecting your own business through non-solicitation agreement, through non-disclosure agreement.
Yep.
I mean, that just, it seems like you could protect your business without resorting to that.
Yep. Go to the KMBZ Facebook page. The story's posted there. Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.